Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Miller Lite. Triple Hops Brewed Miller Lite. Taste greatness.
I don't believe in fretting and grieving. Why mess around with strife? I never was cut out to step out or strut out. Give me the simple life. Some find it pleasant dining on pheasant. Those things roll off my knife. Just serve me tomatoes and mashed potatoes. Give me the simple life. A cottage small is all I'm after, not one that's spacious and wide. A house that rings with joy and laughter, and the ones you love inside. Some like the high road, I like the low road, free from the care and strife. Sounds corny and seedy, but yes, indeedy.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 437. I'm Amy Matheny, and I am so excited about our guest on the show today, the lovely and golden-throated, smooth, sweet, smooth, Tom Michael, cabaret artist, entertainer, singer, performer. Many of you may know him as one half of the duo of Becky Minzy and Tom Michael, but every now and again they do their own thing, and Tom has issued a beautiful new CD that we're going to be featuring throughout the entire show, and I'm going to sit down and talk with him, fellow Southerner that he is, openly gay man living in Chicago, and living and sharing and growing with his art. So it's such an exciting show to have Tom with us. I mean, it's world-class cabaret talent that's right here in our backyard, and I love it, and love that we got to sit on one of these last warm days of summer into fall and talk about music and being gay and his life. Also, we've got lots of gay news, what is going on, some interesting entertainment news. And also, Richard Knight Jr. is going to be taking us to the movies. Are they heating up, or has this been really a bust of the new set of fall movies? What do you think? Are you getting into the movie theaters? I've been trying to get out and see some shows, but we've got a new gay film called Weekend that's in town, and hopefully it will stay if lots of people go to see it. And coming up, we're going to have great reviews from the new George Clooney film Ides of March as well. I'm really interested in seeing 50-50. That may be what I go see here this week. But sit back, relax, and enjoy the sweet sounds of Tom Michael today on the Queercast.
In the blink of an eye, everything has changed for Father Joe Tierney. He feels trapped. He needs to get away, far away. Dressed in disguise, he opens the door of the STD clinic and runs until his sides hurt and he is gasping for air. Father Tierney, activist pastor of a large Catholic parish and closeted gay man, has just learned he is HIV positive. Father Tierney Stumbles, a new novel by John Shackleton, is now widely available. For more, see johnshackletonauthor.com. That's johnshackletonauthor.com. I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News.
The U.S. Census Bureau released on September 27th new statistics on same-sex couple households in the U.S. Revised estimates suggest that there are about 646,000 same-sex couple homes, a drop from the 900,000 originally reported earlier this year.
During the September 22nd GOP presidential debate, U.S. Army soldier Stephen Hill was booed as he asked candidate Rick Santorum if he would circumvent the progress that has been made for gay and lesbian soldiers in the military. Santorum replied, "Any type of sexual activity has no place in the military. Keep it to yourself, whether you're heterosexual or homosexual." He added that he would try to reinstate "Don't Ask, Don't Tell."
In Utah, openly gay man Dane Hall said that a July drug arrest is not connected to an attack he sustained outside a Salt Lake City nightclub in August. Police are looking at drugs as a possible motive for what some believe is a hate crime. Hall was arrested July 2nd for possession of narcotics.
Tommy Bennett, a gay former Rainbow Push employee who filed a discrimination complaint against the organization and the Reverend Jesse Jackson, has now filed a lawsuit with similar claims. In the initial complaint, filed with the City of Chicago Commission on Human Relations, Bennett claimed that he experienced sexual orientation-based discrimination almost immediately after he started the job in 2007, saying that a now former membership and volunteer coordinator complained to Jackson that she did not wish to work with Bennett because he is gay. Bennett also claimed that Jackson cursed at him in front of other staff members and even alleged that Jackson wanted Bennett to perform oral sex on him. Rainbow Push denies Bennett's claims.
In Tennessee, Nashville Fire Department officials suspended 20-year veteran paramedic Kevin Kennedy after he made anti-gay statements on Facebook and the department's emergency medical services webpage. Kennedy wrote that homosexuality was a perversion and that two openly gay EMS workers should crawl back into the closet. He is under a two-month suspension after a departmental hearing and will have to participate in diversity training and an anger management program before returning to work.
In Washington, D.C., a medical examiner has ruled that the death of openly gay engineer Gaurav Gopalan was homicide. Gopalan was found September 10th. He died of blunt force trauma to the head. Gopalan, who was found almost two blocks from his home, was dressed in women's clothes with some facial makeup, leading police to initially classify him as a transgender woman.
Andrew Stankovich, a gay student at the Mississippi College School of Law, wants the American Bar Association, ABA, to change its accreditation standards for Christian law schools. Stankovich claims that the ABA allows Christian law schools to discriminate against LGBT students as long as the schools don't violate students' equal access to educational opportunities. Stankovich says that his law school won't allow a gay student association.
The ACLU argued before the United States Court of Federal Claims that a Defense Department policy that cuts the separation pay of service members who have been honorably discharged for being gay in half is discriminatory and unconstitutional. The ACLU filed a class action lawsuit against the policy, which is not part of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell statute, and so was not changed when that law was repealed. The Defense Department can change the policy on its own without congressional approval.
U.S. Senator John Kerry of Massachusetts introduced legislation to outlaw discrimination against LGBT Americans in the housing and credit markets. The Housing Opportunities Made Equal Act would amend the Fair Housing Act to prohibit housing discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity, marital status, or source of income. It would also amend the Equal Opportunity Credit Act to prohibit LGBT discrimination in credit decisions. U.S. Representative Gerald Nadler is introducing the companion measure in the House of Representatives.
Big box retail giant Walmart has added transgender protections to its employee non-discrimination policy. The protections include gender identity and gender expression. Sexual orientation protections are already a part of the company's discrimination and harassment prevention policy.
The federal government plans to release more than $1.8 billion in funding to states to fight HIV. Approximately $1.2 billion will be sent to states and territories under Part B of the Ryan White program, with $813 million of that total designated for the AIDS Drug Assistance Program.
In Utah, 40-year-old gay Mormon Brian Michael Agnew took his own life after losing his family and being excommunicated. Agnew went on a Mormon mission at age 19, was married in the temple, and had five children. Recently, Agnew revealed his sexuality to his family, resulting in his wife leaving with the children and his excommunication.
Asheville, North Carolina Mayor Terry Bellamy, who has opposed gay rights in the past, recently signed a proclamation honoring the Blue Ridge Pride Festival. Bellamy's move followed public pressure and a meeting with gay rights activists. The festival took place in Pack Square Park on October 1st.
In world news, Alvin Gahimbaze, a gay Burundi man, has won an 11-year battle for asylum in England. He left Burundi with his sister Danella in 2000 at age 16. Danella is now a permanent British resident, but Alvin's application for asylum was rejected because officials didn't believe he was gay. Alvin has been allowed to return to his studies at Bristol University, where he had started a law program at the University of West England.
Kaleidoscope will campaign against anti-gay bias and violence, particularly in the Middle East, where punishments can be severe. Sir Elton John, activist Peter Tatchell, and George Michael are among those backing the new organization. Currently, homosexuality is illegal in 76 countries.
In entertainment news, a pair of the ruby slippers Judy Garland wore in the 1939 movie The Wizard of Oz will be auctioned off on December 16th. This is only one of four pairs worn on screen that have survived the past seven decades. One pair is at the Smithsonian, another is owned privately, and a third was stolen from the Judy Garland Museum in Grand Rapids, Michigan. This fourth pair is expected to fetch $2 to $3 million.
The daytime serial All My Children concluded its 41-year run on September 23rd. The soap introduced issues such as same-sex marriage, abortion, and date rape, and produced one of the great soap villains in Susan Lucci's Erica Kane. Children, which is slated to continue on the internet, launched the careers of such stars as Sarah Michelle Gellar, Josh Duhamel, Christian Slater, and Kelly Ripa.
Out comedian and actress Wanda Sykes revealed on Ellen DeGeneres' talk show on September 26th that she has had a double mastectomy to treat an early stage of breast cancer. Sykes said the cancer was accidentally found when she went in for breast reduction earlier this year.
Former L Word actress Leisha Haley and her girlfriend were reportedly kicked off a Southwest Airlines plane for kissing. Haley tweeted about the incident, posting, "I have been discriminated against by Southwest Air. Flight attendant said that it was a family airline and kissing was not okay." Southwest issued a statement saying it approached the passengers based solely on behavior and not gender.
Singer Melissa Etheridge has gotten a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. The 50-year-old lesbian singer has had hit songs such as Come to My Window and I Need to Wake Up, for which she received a 2007 Academy Award. Speaking of Etheridge, she is denying that she and Tamuin Michaels were ever married. Etheridge and Michaels each filed to end their 9-year relationship last April. Etheridge once joined custody of the couple's 4-year-old twins, while Michaels has asked for full custody. Michaels has filed for a dissolution of the marriage, but Etheridge has said that their vows were nothing more than a non-binding commitment ceremony.
Actress Diane Cannon, promoting her new book, Dear Carrie, My Life with Cary Grant, is saying she never saw Grant engaging in any behavior that would indicate he was gay. The book covers Grant's LSD use, among other topics, though.
Out actor Sean Hayes has started developing a new Western for NBC. The untitled production is set in the 1880s and combines drama and comedy, with the show focusing on a young doctor named Jacob Morris, who specialized in mental disorders.
And Sean Mayer, 36, an actor who plays a closeted gay man on the new NBC series The Playboy Club, has come out of the closet in real life. Mayer lives in Los Angeles with Paul, his partner of nearly 9 years, and their two children, Sophia Rose, age 4, and Liam Xavier, 14 months.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr., and here's your Night at the Movies Minute. Gay writer-director Andrew Haig, or is it Hay? I'm not sure. Anyway, his Weekend is a stunningly simple, nearly perfect example of a romance movie whose burgeoning couple just happens to be gay. It's being tagged a Gay Before Sunrise, and in its emotional complexity and compelling performances, that fits. But the reality of the characters, their lives, and Haig's presentation of them is far away from the gorgeous cinematography and gorgeous lighting which wrapped the love affair of the gorgeous Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy, the Delphi. Those two gorgeous specimens in a golden halo. Russell, played by Tom Cullen, and his hookup, Glenn, played by Chris New, are anything but tragic beauties in a world that certainly isn't filled with dappled sunsets and rosy dawns. They're just two regular Joes whose lives unexpectedly intersect and who, by the time their weekend together has ended, find themselves hopelessly in love. Haig involves his audience in the outcome of Russell and Glenn, two working-class British guys, by going the gritty reality route. He has hired actors who are handsome but not physically perfect, and his improvised-sounding dialogue helps them totally embody their gay guy next-door characters. He also shot in sequence using handheld cameras. Available light, no soundtrack score, we only hear the music that the characters hear, and choppy cutting to convincingly achieve this intimacy. It's the antithesis of Tom Ford's sleek and startlingly beautiful single man, but Haig's movie is just as perfectly controlled, and it too is a triumphant movie, a gay triumph. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
Hey, pigs! This is Judy Tenuta, the love goddess, and you're listening to Queercast. It makes my hormones slam dance. It could happen.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative. Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of October 3rd, 2011, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Tony Award-winning choreographer Twyla Tharp returns to Hubbard Street Dance Chicago with a world premiere. You won't want to miss this night of amazing contemporary dance. Only four performances October 13th through 16th at the Harris Theater in Millennium Park. Tickets start at only $25 and are available now at hubbardstreetdance.com.
From musical theater legend Stephen Schwartz comes the premiere of Snapshots, a musical scrapbook, a romantic musical comedy featuring songs from Broadway favorites Wicked, Godspell, Pippin, and more. Snapshots is now playing at Northlight Theater. Visit northlight.org.
The hunt is on and monsters are on the run. New Millennium Theater Company presents Scott Janis, Monster Hunter, a salute to classic camp horror films presented in 4D, Sensorround, and Smell-O-Vision. Fridays and Saturdays at 11 o'clock through October 29th at Theater Wit, 1229 West Belmont. For tickets, visit nmtchicago.org.
Don't miss the Joffrey Ballet's exhilarating world premiere production of Don Quixote, a timeless tale about bravery and romance. Go on an exciting journey where windmills become monsters and a new adventure awaits beyond every horizon. Russian choreographer Yuri Polzakov uses humor, drama, and passion to bring this Cervantes classic to life. The Joffrey Ballet's Don Quixote at the Auditorium Theater October 12th through the 23rd. Visit joffrey.org.
Lifeline Theater opens its 29th anniversary season of Big Stories Up Close with a world premiere adaptation of Alexandre Dumas' legendary classic, The Count of Monte Cristo. Running Thursday through Sunday through October 30th. For more, visit lifelinetheater.com.
Writers Theater kicks off its 20th anniversary season with Tom Stoppard's award-winning modern classic, The Real Thing, directed by artistic director Michael Halberstam. Catch the Metro to Glencoe or take a quick trip up the Edens to see this razor-sharp drama that examines the complex nature of love, art, and reality. Visit writerstheater.org to book your tickets today.
Chicago Shakespeare Theater's Murder for Two is the killer new musical that delivers fun to die for, says the Sun-Times. A hilarious whodunit featuring two virtuoso performances. As one actor investigates a crime, the other plays all 13 suspects, and both play the piano. For more, visit chicagoshakes.com/murder. Extended by popular demand through October 16th.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueercast.com.
If I never met you, if I never saw your face, this world would be a colder place, I bet. If we never met, if never met him, if I never knew your love, my life might be a sad song of regret.
Let Me Be Your Home is the new CD from cabaret and pop artist Tom Michael, and we are lucky that Chicago is his artistic home as well. Billboard magazine says Tom Michael's voice is tailor-made to travel far and wide in the world of adult pop, and he has done just that, having sung at Lincoln Center in New York to Chicago's Auditorium Theater and the Royal Room in Palm Beach. But we are happy to be right here in sunny, warm Chicago with him today. Hey, Tom, how are you?
Hi, Amy. It's good to be here.
What a gorgeous CD.
Thank you.
You just keep putting them out, like every handful of years,
you
pop one out, and it's a gem, and it's just a delicious little thing, which I can't wait to talk about. But I want to let our listeners get to know you a little better.
Okay.
Tell everybody, where are you from?
Houston.
Houston, Texas. Are you a true Southern boy?
You know, I've been in Chicago since 1985, and I'm still a Southerner. You're from the South.
Yes.
You can't take the Southern out of the person, you know?
Yeah.
You can't take the South out of the boy. So, yeah, I'm a Southerner.
Now, why did you come up here? Was it about music when
you came
up here?
No, I had nothing to do. I wasn't singing at the time, and I was a flight attendant for American Airlines.
Okay.
And I went through training in 85, and then they shipped me to Chicago. I thought, well, I'll stay here for, like, 8 months is the requirement. You know, that you had to stay at your first base for 8 months, and then I was going to transfer back to Dallas.
Because that's where they're from, so
right,
you thought you could stay in Texas.
Right. And naturally, I'm a Texan. I go back to Texas. So I met a guy here 2 weeks into living here and, fell in love with somebody and started a relationship. And then, here I am 25 years later. Of course, the relationship's not
right.
going on anymore. But, I just slowly started getting, into the whole Chicago scene and the music scene here. And just, life started happening and I just developed a life here.
How did that happen? Were you a church singer? Were you a singer as a kid? Or how did the music and the singing start for you?
No, I never sang in high school. I never sang in choirs. Nothing. And when I was 24, like a year after college, my mother was in Houston and she saw this group called Up With People. You remember Up With People?
Oh, yeah, Up With People.
And I joined Up With People.
At 24?
I was 23.
23?
23 and 24. And
they performed and went around and
sang. Yeah, we toured all over the world and I'd never been on stage in my life. And they just kind of shoved me out there and said, hey, you've got a good voice and we're going to put you in some of the lead vocals. And so we toured from everywhere, from all over the northwestern United States. We went as far as the Middle East. We performed halftime Super Bowls and everything.
Wow.
So it was just an amazing opportunity to really get my feet wet as a performer. And I fell in love and got the performing bug, fell in love with performing. So
now, when did you have the courage to stand out there alone and kind of claim it for yourself?
Well,
or is that what came next?
That when I moved to Chicago, I started flying and I really started missing performing.
Mm.
And I heard about an open mic in Chicago called Boombala. It was up on North Lincoln Avenue. And I kind of thought about it for, 2 or 3 months. I thought, ooh, I got to, learn a couple songs. So I spent a while and learned these two songs. And then I remember the night before I went into that open mic, it was 1987. I didn't sleep the night before. I was so nervous.
Yeah.
It's so queer to think about that now.
Yeah.
But, I got up on stage and I sang my two songs and I got a nice response. And they asked me to host an open mic and, a couple of weeks after that because they liked what I did. And just slowly started happening, and I don't know, for some reason, I don't know why I was so nervous about that. I guess I thought,
Well, it's the first time, time to kind of step out there and claim it just being about you and
right.
not a group. And it's a vulnerable thing,
I would think,
especially the world of cabaret. It's so very personal and very vulnerable. Do you find that to be true, that you're exposing a sense of yourself or a piece of yourself every time you perform?
I sure hope so.
That's the goal?
Yeah.
Make it personal?
Yeah, I've never done theater. I've never been in a role before, so I don't really
You're playing the role of Tom Michael.
Yeah, that's the only thing I know how to do on stage. It's not that I'd say no to performing a role. I think it'd be fun. I mean, you're an actress. You know what it's
right?
like, but I've never done that. So
yeah.
I find it really easy to just stand up there and just be myself, you know.
Well, which is such a hard thing for most people to do in the world, let alone with people sitting and paying money and watching you do it. So now Chicago audiences and obviously now audiences around the world know you as a part of a pretty powerful and unique duo, mm-hmm. With your music partner, Becky Menzi. How did you begin collaborating with Becky, and what has that collaboration meant to you and your work?
That collaboration is the most important part of my music life, because I love to sing stuff by myself. That's mm-hmm. wonderful, but I feel like my voice is complete when mm-hmm. I'm singing with Becky. It just feels like part of my voice is missing when she's not there. Mm. And it's great singing solos and everything. This is mostly a solo CD.
Right.
But
she does join you.
She does join me on three tunes, actually. But I don't know. I feel like we're like Steve and Edie or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, I don't know, Sonny and Cher. I don't know.
Yeah.
Our voices go together, I feel.
Who put you together? Or how did you connect?
We met at that open mic. She was a piano player at that open mic. And she and I didn't hit it off at first at all.
Really?
She couldn't stand me.
Oh, really?
No. She's like, you are a music. She called me a musical micromanager.
Uh-huh.
And because I wanted everything to be, you know, just methodical and perfect. And she was like footloose and fancy free and just, you know. So we've kind of come together and we've met in the middle. And she's mm-hmm. become more disciplined and I've become more loose. And,
yeah.
You know, it's become a good pairing that way. But it took us a long time to actually become Becky Menzi and Tom Michael. You know,
yeah.
that didn't really happen until the late 90s.
Yeah.
And we kind of solidified that relationship one night when we were in New York. We were performing at Town Hall. And we were the closing act of the cabaret convention that year.
Oh, wow.
And we sang Rhythm of Life from Sweet Charity. Mm. It was a really cool arrangement that we did together. And the audience just responded so well to it. And we thought, okay, we have something here. We have something
yeah.
special between the two of us. And so we went back to the hotel that night and we said, let's give it a year. And just so, you know, we were going to
be a duo
a duo and business partners. And see what happens. And, you know, it's been 12 or 13 years now.
Wow.
So
it's a long relationship with anybody. So
I was a maid of honor at her wedding, too. So.
Were you really?
Yes.
The maid of honor.
I
love it. So do you, what is the difference? I mean, you say that her voice kind of fleshes out your voice, but what is the difference do you feel when you perform with Becky and when you perform solo? Is one more of a conversation on stage and one is more of a conversation between audience and stage? Or what do you think?
I just have so much fun
mm-hmm.
when I'm on stage with Becky.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about for me. You know,
mm-hmm.
I never went into this whole singing thing thinking of it as a career.
I
went into it to have a good time and to enjoy it because I love to make music, but I've never been career oriented with this. It's
right.
just always been for fun. And so for me, you know, it was always just, I just want to have fun and enjoy myself and make great music at the same time. And so I just, it's so great to have that person up there with you. It's,
mm-hmm.
I feel safer when I'm up there with her.
Yeah.
First of all, she's an amazing accompanist.
She's incredible.
And her arrangements are phenomenal. And I think the interaction between us and the love that we have for each other is part of what sells us as a duo, because
right.
that's what people enjoy watching, is the chemistry
right.
between us.
Right. So what have been your influences? I mean, what were your musical influences growing up, or, you know, when you knew I wanted to start singing, what kind of music did you want to start singing? And I'm assuming Becky has some too that's maybe expanded. I mean, I've sung in some duos and some trios, and sometimes who you're in the room with kind of like introduces you to new stuff. So what were the seeds that were your musical influences, and what has kind of expanded with her?
Well, it's really weird. I was always more attracted as a child to music, not to songs, but to music.
Uh-huh.
And Burt Bacharach was my idol.
Oh, wow.
As a kid.
Well, that's not a bad idol to have.
I loved his music. Not
mm-hmm.
It wasn't about the words. It was just about his
yeah.
use of instruments and horns and strings. And there was this lushness about his stuff that just really touched my soul. It sounds kind of weird, but
he's incredible, so I think people understand that.
I think people are just now, in the last 5 or 6, 10 years, whatever, really appreciating him for what a genius he is. But so for me, it was more about the music, and Becky really taught me about the importance of the lyric, because she comes at everything from a lyric perspective.
Right.
And that's what cabaret is really about. It's not about the music, it's about the lyric. And so that's what I've kind of learned from her. as a partner is the importance of lyric. And now I would never pick a song for anything except for a lyric.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah.
How funny is that? So tell me, you are, you don't write.
No.
Music.
I don't even read music.
I'm sure you and Becky worked together on arrangements and kind of thought.
She's actually better at picking songs than I am.
Uh-huh.
You know, she's got a great knack for finding just certain gems or certain things that would be good for me, good for us, you know, whatever. That's more of her strength than mine.
So, but in picking this CD, did she help you pick songs from this CD, or was this mostly you?
This was all me.
And there's so many different amazing artists on this. I mean, everyone from Mercer and Irving Berlin, and of course you're doing Carole King, which I think you should do a lot of Carole King. Actually,
I love Carole
King.
You
have such a sweet voice for that. Stephen Sondheim. I mean. And Sondheim Bernstein, you know, how did, you know, what does some of these composers mean to you and these songs, and how did you assemble them for this CD?
This song, or this CD, I was just falling in love when I started working on this CD.
I was about to say, you sound very in love in this CD. The first three songs, I'm like, this is a happy play CD. You are the anti-Adele CD for the summer fall. Let me tell you, she's heartbreaking. You are like the rose-colored glasses of bliss and joy and noticing every little detail.
It's so funny that you noticed that. Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
that's,
I did.
All the reviewers so far from this CD have said this is a very romantic CD.
Yeah. And this is kind of like when Katie Lang released her summer CD, I don't know, like 8 years ago or something, and you could just tell she was just in love. It was like barefoot in the sand kind of stuff, you know? Like, just blissful, and that's what I feel from this album.
This
you can't help but smile.
There's not one sad song on this album.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like I do sad songs really well, you know, and I think maybe next CD I'll have to go back to that place a little bit.
No, you don't. I don't want that to be going
on. But I've had some people saying, oh, we missed the sad stuff, you know, but that's just not where I was when I picked the song, the songs in the CD. So I just feel like these songs kind of picked me at the time, you know.
And it's a lot of love. I mean, it's almost a CD of love, whether it's love of friends or love of Chicago. You have a whole mashup, as the kids say these days, of songs that kind of talk about home being here in Chicago. And Becky sings on that song, which is also, I think, evocative of
home. And then the title song, Let Me Be Your Home, is written by Chuck Larkin, who's a local guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A local piano player, and he was the musical director for Jersey Boys for the entire run of Jersey Boys
here in Chicago.
Yeah.
So are you out going to be promoting this ferociously, and how do you balance your time between promoting Tom Michael or promoting, are you all singing as a duo, or is it all the same?
We have a good fall. We have a really good fall. We're performing at Lincoln Center again next month.
Okay.
We're performing at the Park West as part of the CCP Gala. We're doing...
That's the Chicago Cabaret Professionals.
Cabaret Professionals,
just for people who don't know.
We're doing a little bit of touring in Indiana, and we're going to be at Maxime's, which is in the Gold Coast, in November. And
that's a beautiful room.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And now, you've done some cruise ships in the past, haven't you?
Yes.
But those are great, because a lot of our listeners, you know, from all over, you know, maybe hop aboard one of those. Are they always like a gay cruise, or are they...
We've done both.
Both?
We did one gay cruise, and it was on a 125 passenger sailboat.
Oh, wow.
In the middle.
That's pretty intimate.
It was, well, that part was fine. It was really rough the whole time. I mean, both of us were seasick the entire trip. Becky could barely just make it from the bed to the stage. She, you know, she would play the piano. She was about to fall off the piano bench the whole time. I was holding onto a pole so I wouldn't fall off the stage. It was just awful.
Yeah. It was like the songs of the sea, like like Little Mermaid songs and Yellow Submarine by the Beatles.
Yeah, so we don't have a fond memory of the cruise. We did another cruise one time in Vietnam, which was really exciting.
Holy cow.
Yeah, you know, who knew? We just kind of looked
at
ourselves.
You really gotten to see the world as a cabaret artist, and yet it's funny that you started off thinking you were going to be, a flight attendant.
Well, I was a flight attendant.
Well, you were, and you did that for many years, but you've been able to just do this for quite a while.
Yeah.
So what would you say to somebody who thinks like they love singing and they want to sing and
for me
find an outlet for that for themselves?
Well, for me, when I first got started, I sang every chance I got.
Oh, wow.
And I remember one time I had free passes with the airlines, so I flew to New York. I took about a 4 o'clock in the afternoon flight, I had a list of 8 or 9 different open mics all over the city of Manhattan. And I went to 8 or 9 open mics all night long. I'd sing 2 songs, jump in a cab, go to the next open mic, sing
You're
2 songs.
You're hilarious. I love that
And I stayed
story.
Out all night long. And then I went back to the airport at 6 a.m, jumped on a plane and flew home. So I really...
I love that.
It was awesome.
Let's do that again sometime soon.
It was
so awesome.
That
could be a little fun overnighter for you and me.
I know, but the most important thing is just to get out and sing every chance you get and work with as many different players and, you know, piano players and just... Sometimes it's not going to be the best, but, you know, other times it will be. And just be heard by as many people as you can and get on stage as much, just that stage experience.
And has it ever been an issue for you to be out, or is the cabaret world so such as that you've been able to be an openly gay male and talk about your life or not talk about your life, or it's irrelevant or it's very relevant?
It's just kind of a non-issue.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not like, you know, out on stage, but I don't hide it. So it's just, it is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, my audience knows that I'm gay.
Right.
But I don't consider myself a gay artist.
Yeah.
I just consider myself an artist. But,
right.
I'm definitely out.
What's the next big dream for you with, I mean, you've put
honestly,
out
Honestly, Amy, I swear to God, this is the truth. I don't think that way about
you
my
don't.
Music. I don't. I just turned...
You don't have an ambition about, like, I'd really love to play this place, or I'd really love to sing with this person, or if I gave you the opportunity to craft a big dream, would it be to do, I don't know, a live CD, or I don't know, or a big band
I have never,
orchestra CD?
I've never been that way about my music.
No.
Because I'll get just as much joy out of singing at a senior center that
yeah.
I will at singing at Lincoln Center.
Yeah.
It's real, or a public library. You know, it's all the same to me. I just want to get my music out there
yeah.
and just have a ball doing it. And that's and just see where it goes. And that's the way I've always done this music career.
And who are a couple of your favorite singers to see perform? I know one of them.
Diana Ross. How gay is that? I guess I am pretty
How
out there.
How many times have you seen Diana Ross?
Who knows?
You love her. What is it about her? Is it the feathers? Is it the
costumes? It's over the topness.
Yeah.
And her confidence and just her showmanship.
She has such a sweet voice, kind of like you too, though. I always think of Diana Ross as having just kind of this really sweet,
yeah.
dear voice. It doesn't mean it's not powerful, but there is something at core about it that is a...
Vulnerable. There's a vulnerability
vulnerable,
about
sweet
about
sound.
Her.
Uh-huh. And I would equate that with you. I would
oh, thanks.
Say you're like Miss Ross in that way.
That's the nicest thing anybody ever said about my singing.
Would you put that on your CD next time? Or at least on your press release?
What a quote.
Amy Matheny said,
I
you have the
wait.
Sweetness of Miss Ross. You're evocative of Diana Ross. who else, though? Do you have a male singer that you connect with as much, or is it mostly...
You know, I really actually love some of the 80s and 90s pop bands, like the lead singer from Tears for Fears.
Yeah.
Do you remember Tears for Fears?
Yep.
Oh, my God. He's one of the greatest voices. I love Barry Manilow. Sorry,
yeah.
I just do. I think he's
amazing. No, you don't
amazing.
Have to be sorry.
I love him. I think he's great. I loved... B.J. Thomas. Do you remember B.J. Thomas from the 70s? He did the original...
Raindrops?
Yeah.
Falling on my
what
head?
A voice. What a,
yeah.
What a great... I like that kind of scratchy kind of male, you know, rough voice or whatever.
Which is
like
funny,
the Eagles.
You're the anti-rough voice.
Right.
But
I love the Eagles.
Gives you an opportunity to put your spin on it, though, if you ever covered any of those
yeah.
songs, you know,
yeah.
that...
I love Michael Feinstein, too.
Yeah.
I've, you know, had the opportunity to spend some time with him and meet him, and... He's, you know, he's always been an idol of mine because I just love what he does. I think he's so talented.
He's
so.
Really preserved that American...
Yeah, the American song, Great American Songbook.
Yeah, really helped preserve that. Well, maybe you can go debut this CD at the... At one of his clubs. That would be fun.
Yeah.
So the CD is called Let Me Be Your Home. It is magnificent. I really encourage people to pick it up. And it's available on iTunes if you just like the
it
digital
is.
Music thing.
And Amazon?
It's in Amazon. But it's packaged quite beautifully. And you can go to also to... Tom's website, tommichael.net, which we will have linked in our show notes. You can click right through and find out where he's touring, because if you don't live in Chicago, there's obviously some other dates you'll be able to see Tom perform and look out for where he may be traveling alone or with the lovely Becky Minzy. And Tom, congratulations on this CD.
Thank you.
And we're so happy to be able to be featuring so many songs from it on this show.
Awesome.
So all the best.
I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need me, you need me to be with you. I will follow.
312-21 Be Gay. Well, everybody, I hope you have found beautiful music in your own life. And if you get a chance to see Tom Michael on a boat or as he's touring or here in the Chicagoland area, I strongly encourage you to do so. And I will see you next week. Continuing unfoldings in the after the afterlife of the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Also, Mitchell Fain and I are going to sit down on the couch again because we have so much to talk about and we haven't been able to do that. So Richard Knight Jr. bringing us more movies. Kirk Williamson and I will always be bringing you the weekly news because there's a lot of GLBT news in the world, and we like that we're your resource for getting some of that news. Have a great week, everyone. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now. The simple.